Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on Hump Day, right here at the middle of the week. Listen, I'm doing a segment right now we like to call Home Fries. We say it facetiously, but what we're saying is sometimes what happens right here at home in your state, in your locale, it can have more impact on your life than anything that comes out of D.C. Well, a lot of that, too, can come from your state legislatures. Somebody who knows it as well as anybody in the world, because she's been in the mix down there for quite a while, is our friend Stephanie Smith. She's the president of the Alabama Policy Institute, where I am proud to still be a distinguished fellow. And she's got her finger on the pulse of what's happening in our state capitol right now. Stephanie Smith, how you doing?
I'm doing well, and I'm actually, I didn't tell you this, but I'm actually at the state capitol right now.
I figured.
There's a little pre-gaming going on, and I don't mean in the fun way. So lots of meetings happening, lots of things, trying to get on agendas, trying to move some bills forward. So all that happens even before they get here.
Listen, I mean, I didn't say I was going to ask you. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit.
Sure.
What about access to the governor's office? Because in the past, API, we used to have access to the governor's office, and I feel like that's waned in recent years because there's been a difficult mm-hmm. time trying to get through to see Kay Ivey. Have you had any opportunity mm-hmm. to meet with the governor's staff?
I have, yeah. We worked really closely with the governor's staff on our school choice bill on the CHOOSE Act last year, and we're working pretty closely with them on a few bills again this year. So that's been refreshing. And her staff, they're really focused on the governor's long-term legacy, and some of our bills fit right into that. It's been good to work together with them more so than we have in the recent past.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Well, listen, right before you came on, right before the break, I brought up a story as part of the segment here from 1819 News. It came out yesterday. That mm-hmm. The title of it is House GOP Caucus here in Alabama. The House GOP Caucus launches its Alabama Values Legislative Agenda for 2025. And I read the article, and while I don't disagree with anything they said, and I've often said that sometimes principle matters more than policy because principle guides policy, they did was say, these are things we stand for. They didn't name a single bill. So what do you know about this? Where are they headed right now in the House? Do you know?
Yeah, they actually set up kind of a little, I don't know what they called it, but it was a committee, basically, that met in the off season to come up with agenda items. I know a few people who were on that committee, and the thought process, I think, was that they were going to do these overarching values and then only really push forward with bills that fit under one of those umbrellas. And so I was super interested to see what those topics were. They were pretty broad.
Yeah.
You can make an argument for some, lots of different bills under the headings. But I really think from talking to some folks down here, I think that their inclination is to take a cue from what's happening in D.C. I do think that they're more focused on crime and immigration than they have been in recent years.
Yeah.
Those things come up in almost every conversation. But they're also taking a cue from what's happening with DOGE and paying attention to how big our bureaucracy is, how much we're taxing, how much we're spending. And frankly, I mean, for you and me, who have been talking about these things for decades, it's pretty refreshing to hear people asking the right questions.
Yeah, it is. It means that you feel like they're actually keyed in and paying attention. And I don't know if you heard my opening monologue. I know you're probably busy with meetings, but when the show started off today, I pointed out mm-hmm. that Republican supermajorities in Florida, Alabama, Tennessee are all considering things right now that they have the wind at their back on all of it. And this is a year when they could get cultural issues, fiscal issues, beating back soft on crime issues, and do all the mm-hmm. things that they say they care about when they campaign. They could do it this year because the public sentiment is absolutely in their favor.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, especially in a state like Alabama, with the numbers so strong for President Trump, there's a pretty clear mandate nationwide, but it's even more clear in Alabama. And so that's what That's what I've been talking to folks about. And even, you know, on some of the social issues, you know, Alabama was way out front on some of these gender issues and got some pushback for it, frankly. And so now basically the rest of the world has come around to the Alabama value of, hey, guys, maybe this isn't the best thing for adolescents, you know, to have sex change operations, et cetera. So, you know, some of the social issues are also coming around. And so it's been a nice sea change to see. But as you know, talk is cheap and the rubber hits the road starting next week.
Yeah.
And so we'll see what they actually accomplish. I'd like to see them pay closer scrutiny, to the budget. And, you know, they've done a good job of putting money away, and not just spending it on, you know, nonsense for the most part. There's definitely some fluff in there, but they've done a good job of putting money away in these savings accounts. But we're still in a budget surplus, even with putting basically $4 billion away in one pot of money, you know, one pot or another. And, you know, to me, the time is ripe for making sure we're spending the money on the right things and then also considering a more broad tax cut.
Yeah, people don't realize, too often don't realize that Alabama is actually a very solvent state. We have a balanced budget requirement in our state constitution, and because of things we've been able to do over the last decade, we actually have reserve accounts in both our education and general fund budgets right now that give us, basically give us surplus. They give us buffer or cushion, if you will. And not every state can say that.
That's right. And they've kind of, you know, not to jinx us, but proration proofed us. And that was, you know, when I started in Alabama politics, that was not the case. Proration was every 2 or 3 years. They've done a good job of being conservative and putting money away. But you know, we'll see what happens in a Trump economy instead of a Biden economy. I mean, Lord willing, you know, and the extra dose or doses of freedom, you know, actually generate some economic development. And so, you know, we need to just make sure that we have systems in place to where we're returning the money to the people or not taking it from them in the first place.
I totally agree. Well, hey, listen, let me ask you this with about 5 minutes here. I mean, every year there's usually some signature piece or pieces of legislation. And then there's always the ones, too, that people don't realize how much time is spent in Montgomery beating bad legislation. So what do you see on the pro and the con list coming up that you guys at the Policy Institute are keyed in on?
Yeah, so the things that we're working really hard on, like I said, are kind of the taxing and spending issues. You know, we championed that overtime tax cut. That's something that President Trump has proposed on a nationwide basis.
Yeah.
We'd like to see that and a more broad corporate or both income tax cut or movement toward that. Occupational licensing is always on our list, as you know, and
yes.
I think that we're getting really close to making a breakthrough on that. And we're really looking, especially with all the information that we're getting from the public on this ALDOGE initiative that we're doing, we're really looking toward creating increased transparency on federal grant programs, federal money, and also state grant and state programs, just making sure that there's accountability in place and transparency in place for every single dollar that's spent of the taxpayers' money. And then, there are other things that, you know, smaller issues, but also important issues like mandating a live streaming open meetings. I think that, you know, technology has increased the public's ability to be part of the things that are going on in Montgomery. Some people like that. Some people don't like that. But I do think that that's something that could be really beneficial for the people to actually know what's happening.
Yeah, I think that's huge. And I think you're right. And I think that the more people see what's there, like when I first got elected, there was no way for the public to watch or listen to the machinations on the Senate floor. We put a camera and audio in for the first time, and my wife used to text me and tell me to smile more when I was at the podium because she was watching it.
But
But what it did though was it opened up transparency, and that kind of thing, you can't get enough of that in government.
That's right. Yeah, when I first started, which is aging me, but when I first started, you had to be in a state building. So you had to be in the state capitol or in the state house you know, and they had, it's basically like a old school, you know, grandma's house intercom system. And you could listen in to one chamber or one specific room or another. But, you know, technology, you know, there are a lot of negative things about technology. We're working on a bill to help protect kids from, you know, online predators and online things that they shouldn't be seeing. But technology is also good, that it adds that level of transparency. And so we think that state government should adhere to that as well.
All right. So what bill do you want to kill this year? Like, are they talking about gambling again? What are we going to do? And what do you see out there that the Policy Institute's going, got to stop that one?
Yeah, I mean, the two big things that I think that will be at least discussed are Medicaid expansion and gambling. And we're, you know, obviously against both of those, have been for decades.
Yep.
Yes, there's some talk about gambling. There's not as much talk about gambling this year as there was last year. But I also know where we are in the quadrennium, and so we are working full bore on that, and really trying to get information out to legislators, lawmakers, and just the general public on the dangers of specifically digital betting and sports betting.
Yeah.
Because much like the other issues we're talking about with those transparency issues and even the protection of kids, gambling has changed with the technology. And so if you pass one type of bill, you might get digital betting. If you pass another type of bill, you might accidentally get sports betting on everybody's phones or devices. And so that type of betting is highly addictive and really dangerous, especially for adolescent boys. And so we're trying to get that data and information into the hands of lawmakers.
I think that's huge. And I saw there was actually, I've forgotten which show it was now, maybe Chicago PD or something, one of the shows that, you know, that highlights, you know, criminal activity. And it had it had this entire scenario where these three dads were all about the sports betting, and they even had their own podcast about it, and they were all in. Mm-hmm. And then they were trying to sue somebody for putting extra charges on their account that they say they didn't do. And it turns out it was their kids at home.
Oh, wow.
Who were just doing what dad did. And it totally changed the whole dynamic of their conversation when they realized that, oh, our kids got our passcodes and began gambling at the age of 11.
And unfortunately, those shows, you know, are a reflection of real life.
Yeah.
That stuff is happening, and it's pretty difficult to wake up and see that you created that kind of problem. So we're trying to keep that out of Alabama. We know that people are doing it illegally, but for the state to condone and encourage it is something completely different than, you know, something happened illegally behind closed doors.
Is the What is a Woman Act going to pass this year? Is that in line?
Yes, it is.
Yes, I think it is.
I believe it will pass. I believe it's a priority in the House. Obviously, Susan Dubose has done a great job working on that for the last, this will be her third year working on it, and our third year of helping her work on it.
Yep.
So, I think that bill will pass. Unfortunately, it's necessary. It's absolute silliness that it's necessary, but here we are. So we're going to make sure that we protect women and girls.
And I'll be honest with
statute.
You. I'll be honest with you. Shame on them for taking 3 years to get it passed. My gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, when you watch Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson getting confirmed and she can't name what a woman is, that should tell you the Supreme Court's heading down roads that we need to clarify at the state level. But
that's right. And really what that bill does is just clarifies the literal definition of man, woman, boy, girl, mother, father. And it just makes sure that, you know, those definitions are what have been used for over 2,000 years instead of what has been developed over the last just handful of years. So, she's done a fantastic job with that. But my sense is that bill moves quickly.
Well, my friend, you've done a fantastic job with the Policy Institute. And I'm going to probably call you later on because I got some DOGE ideas that I'm going to share with you.
But, oh, good. I know you do.
That's awesome. But in the meantime, tell folks where they can find out more about what y'all are doing.
Yeah, you can find us on all the social media outlets at Alabama Policy. And then also our website is alabamapolicy.org.
All right. Stephanie Smith, thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thanks, Phil.
Thank you. All right, we're taking a break. I ran long because it was just, I mean, we could have talked for another half hour. But, the Alabama Policy Institute, if you want to do a deep dive on what's happening in your state capital, Alabama Policy for Alabama, Beacon Center for Tennessee, check them out. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.